Now and Again is brought to you by the Cage Club Podcast Network. For all things Cage, Keanu, and more, head on over to cageclub.me. That is cageclub.me. Please play this song on the radio. Guys, gals, non-binary pals, we are back, sort of. This is a Now and Again vacation, sort of like what we did with Rolling Stone last year. We are breaking from the traditional Now and Again format to bring to you something that has been long, long in the making. With me, as always, my co-host Nico Vasillo.
Hey everybody, I am so excited to not have to talk about comic books or movies.
Well, Nico was with me on the very first episode of Now and Again, before he was the consistent co-host, and on that episode, if you go back, we make a joke. I make this offhand joke about how the show will eventually become a minute-by-minute walkthrough, run-through of Carly Rae Jepsen's album Emotion, because there's like a couple of dumb podcasts that do things like, we're going to watch Star Wars minute-by-minute, and I think that's really stupid. And this joke has kind of morphed itself into the first season of the Emotion Minute. However, we won't be doing it minute by minute. We're going to, over the course of a couple of years, eight episode season, we'll be covering seven of her songs. We're going to have one day get through all of Carly Rae Jepsen's songs. Hopefully she keeps putting out enough songs that we never finish. But until then, we're going to be covering a little bit of a list of not just greatest hits, some of the deep cuts off of not just Emotion, but all of her albums to date. Nico, how excited are you that we are actually making this reality?
You know, I'm really excited because as a guy who does a minute-by-minute recount of the Marvel Cinematic Universe and a page-by-page recount of X-Men, it's really exciting to get to come over here and ultimately do a what sounds like second-by-second of her entire chronology. Carly Rae Jepsen deep read. This is, you know, when I decided to go to school for English and I studied Ibsen and I this is what I was hoping to do someday. You know, it is
a deep read.
The Macaroons, and she just met them, and this is crazy, but she's going to dance the Tarantella, and she's going to leave her babies. So it's everything I ever wanted.
It is a deep read, and I love you calling it that, but I can tell those of you at home, some people probably won't even know what I'm talking about. We will not be citing that horrible Max Landis, like, manifesto on the music of Carly Rae Jepsen, because that shit sucks. If you don't know what I'm talking about, congratulations, don't even bother looking at it. But let's talk Carly Rae Jepsen first and foremost. Who is she and why are we covering her? First off, if you're new to the show and you've discovered because of this venture, welcome. We mostly talk about pop music and have some fun. It's usually not this focused in on a single artist, but you know, you're along for the ride with us. You're now strapped in to this roller coaster and you can't get out, and we don't really know where it's going.
If I may, for Chris, it's not usually that focused on one artist. For me, it's usually focused on Tori Amos, Mariah Carey, or Janet Jackson. I get BT and Robin in there. At the end of the day, every episode seems to come crashing back to Carly Rae, but I think what we do is we talk about the now that's what I call music pop records and compilations one by one, trying to figure out if they really represent the best of their era. And something that we keep coming back to is that Carly Rae Jepsen's Emotion really represents the best of what it is we love about pop music in the current musicscape. And now we're like 4 years past it, and it's no longer the big it record. It's that joke that I brought up, you know, in like the third or fourth episode. I saw that tweet that said, I'm beginning to wonder if Bernie Sanders is like Carly Rae Jepsen's Emotion, only popular with coastal gays. And I feel like we're so, like, that's how old this album is. For the first anniversary of this album, we got Side B, or maybe the second anniversary of the album. And I think one of the things that this album did was it made it fun to like pop music again. So I'm really excited to dig into what makes this record tick. A record is like a good fuck. you need to kind of figure out how to play it just right. And once you get it and it's inside you and you're inside it and you share that moment of kind of like a throbbing singular minute of this like zeitgeist, this temporary bond where the music hits you and you feel no pain because everybody's got that poster when they're in college. And I feel like this is just going to be, I feel like we have to do the other records because otherwise it's just going to be jacking off on her. And that's awesome because it's literally one of the best collections of songs I've ever heard. Mm-hmm. Though I do see the validity and it can't just be sitting here and going, oh, I got emotion.
Yeah. And for that's actually, for those who are just joining us, a great comparison between you and I. For you, a great pop album is like sex. For me, a great pop single is like sex, because if it goes more than 3 minutes, it just kind of gets repetitive and boring.
Yeah, I'm like the death of the single. I'm a big fan of being like, hey, does this album have 45-minute reinterpretations? Because I would really rather listen to the expanded version. I want to know every second the artist was thinking. So I growing up, was a guy who was like, wait a minute, what do you mean that radio edit is 5 minutes and 34 seconds? No. I have the single edit, which is 5 minutes and 32. 2 seconds. I don't know where you got that one. Is the 2 seconds cut from the beginning or the end, or is it a second from each side? And there's a Tori Amos song called God, and God was a single off of Under the Pink, and the most notable thing about it is there's the album version, which has a lot of crunchy, dissonant, overdrive guitar. Then there's a version on a radio promo single that's God, some guitar, which has some of the overdrive distortion guitar, and then there's God No Guitar, which is the entire song without it, but of course I had to have every version. She also had a series of number one remixes at one point, so there's like 18 different versions of Professional Widow, and of course I have them all, and Professional Widow, in case anybody was wondering, is about Courtney Love. Great name there. So, okay, caught up. Let's do this.
And so those are your hosts. I make bad jokes and try to refocus Nico going off on Tori Amos. Welcome to the show. So who is Carly Rae Jepsen? Let's go to the Wikipedia, Wikipedia, if you will, if you're a long-time listener of the show. Jumping into, let's pick up with Carly. Born in Mission, British Columbia, so she's a polite Canadian, 33 years old, so right around the age of your hosts as well. 2007, in the midst of assembling a swing band, let's take that sentence first, Carly Rae Jepsen, lead singer of a swing band. I kind of see it because something about her, and I've mentioned this on the show in the past about one of my other favorite pop singers, Kylie Minogue. She's not like, Carly Rae Jepsen doesn't have this like super powerful Christina Aguilera, Kelly Clarkson, like blow away voice. Like she's not going to belt out these Broadway-esque high notes and hold it for 15 seconds. She's not a Whitney Houston. And so her songs really, to me, kind of ride on the performance and the tone and the sultriness that her voice has.
You're not going to get any disagreement from... Yeah, you're not going to get any disagreement from me on that. One of the things that makes Carly Rae Jepsen work is her vocals are super accessible. Like, I love Cut to the Feeling, and I think Cut to the Feeling's an incredible song. But, you know, I think some of that Cut to the Feeling is a little, like, it could have been a step down. If the song had been just, like, a whole step down, it might sit a little easier in her voice. She's not a powerhouse. She is somebody who performs well, but that doesn't make her the world's best performer. You don't need to be both. You just need to be a great songwriter and put on a great show. And that's, what I think, what she does best. But you don't strap into a Carly Rae Jepsen song because she's gonna blow you away with every vocal. That's not the point of her music. Her music is meant to be fun.
Exactly. And that kind of, maybe that lack of a, what would you call it? Maybe that lack of a highlight reel note is kind of why she only placed third on Canadian Idol, the obviously Canadian version of American Idol, which is the American version of British Idol. There was like a million of these in the early 2000s. If you're the mythical 16-year-old that we occasionally talk about listening to the show and don't remember these things, so she placed She placed third on it, and she said that that was the best possible outcome because it was like all of the exposure without the devilish contract at the end. And we've talked about this before in talking about Kelly Clarkson. Getting stuck on an idle record contract is awful. You can't break out or break away, but until you are off of it. Otherwise, you're just performing their shitty pop songs.
It's true. It's a really sticky wicket because you get all of this attention. Great. It's something my husband and I were talking about. There's a book out right now that Shondaland actually ran an article about, and it's this insane, insane book that is basically stand in for Jared Padalecki. This woman like writes fanfic about him and then meets him and shows him the fanfic about him and his co-star, and that he ultimately does realize he's gay, but they get totally cool and totally good friends, and it's like it's self-insert nonsense.
I don't understand any of those words, but okay.
Basically a person wrote self-insert real person slash, but like about being a person slashing a celebrity to the celebrity's face, and it's currently a book you can buy, and it's like got a fandom and stuff. It's insane. It's super insane. And my husband was like, you know, that's on Shondaland, and we can't seem to get as much exposure as we want for our positive representation book. Okay. And I said to him, right, but here's what you need to remember. The balance on this is going to be someday someone's going to look at this and they're going to realize what that book is. And that person's career is like self-encapsulatedly over.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah.
There's so few people from Idol who didn't become the person who won Idol 2 years ago. And thus, and I don't mean it offensively because like I'm the king of Broadway, but you become the person who has to do Broadway. You don't have a choice. Now you're a Broadway guy, or you're a whatever guy, but you're not going to be a pop charts guy.
Hmm. Right.
Yeah, somewhere in there was a point.
Well, there's a... So she placed third on season 5 of Canadian Idol. Weird that we're not doing a podcast on J.D. Bixby or Brian Mello, who would go on to place second and first, respectively. I'm sure they're doing great out there. But so her first album, Tug of War, was a singer-songwriter kind of acoustic-y deal. And I think kind of people forget that album. I've honestly, at this point, as of recording, have never listened to it. So we'll kind of be going on that ride together. Following that is probably where, if you don't know the name Carly Rae Jepsen, you probably know the song. Her next album, a little track called Call Me Maybe, came out in 2011, and fellow Canadian pop singer Justin Bieber kind of made that track go viral by promoting it through Twitter and a YouTube video where him and a couple of other pop icons of the time were singing it, and this song blew up, became the song of the summer in 2011, made that album Kiss go probably at least gold. I mean, I can't find it on this Wikipedia, but I'm sure it blew up.
If nothing else, I'm sure the single did really well.
Yeah, exactly. And she became... It spent 9 weeks at number one. This song was known everywhere. You couldn't get away from it. There was a Jimmy Fallon and the Roots cover of it. There was a Cookie Monster cover of it. It was being parodied up and down all over the place. And I really remember at this time saying, yeah, that's going to go down as a one-hit wonder. Never going to hear from this Carly Rae Jepsen girl again. And we're not going to get too deep into Call Me Maybe because we'll have a whole episode on that down the line, but this is the song that made Carly Rae Jepsen Carly Rae Jepsen.
I agree. I think it... Because, like, here's the thing. It didn't even just make her Carly Rae Jepsen. It's who Carly Rae Jepsen was. If it hadn't been for the freedom release of Emotion being a critical success, because Emotion was a critical success that did not sell the way it was reviewed. It's still a critical success well beyond its commercial success, for certain. And I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing. I mean, you know, I would rather her have huge sales. So yeah, it's a terrible thing. Guys, give this woman money. And of course, I'm you know, I think she's great. But it didn't become another Call Me Maybe and thus wasn't ruined. I think I Really Like You could have been the worst song of the summer by being played out, but somehow we were spared.
Yeah. And people really do think that that song, Call Me Maybe, is played out. I did an informal poll of some people at the school that I'm at, and so these people are a little bit younger than me, and I didn't ask about Carly Rae Jepsen at all. I just said, you know, what is a song that, like, you hear and, like, it just annoys you to your core? Because we talked about that on a recent episode, and I wanted to kind of just throw that question out there to people who are maybe not as obsessed with music as we are. And a couple of people actually said Call Me Maybe. Like, it is not the great, to me, the great, well-crafted, expertly written pop song that we get off of, you know, tracks that are on emotion, but it is really a perfect radio single, especially for 2011.
I mean, I think it's a top-of-the-line pop number. I think if you're looking for more than a top-of-the-line pop number, I don't even know what else to say. Like, what is there above really giving you a memorable, high-energy single? It's catchy, it's strong, it's smart. I will say that the rhymes are kind of pathetic. They're particularly simple and base. But, you know, I was such not a huge fan of Call Me Maybe that that's part of why Chris had to convince me to listen to Emotion. Because I was such not a huge fan.
Right. I like that track kind of in an ironic way. I thought it was, like, goofy pop fun, but wasn't anything mind-blowing. And then in 2015... Emotion dropped, and I don't think I listened to it for a couple of months until I started hearing people go, you have to listen to this album. This might be the best pop album in the last 5 or 10 years. And by this point, we'd had Robin albums, we'd had Sia albums that were really great, and so I just didn't really believe it. And then Pitchfork started hyping it up, The Needle Drop was hyping it up, and I said, okay, these are people that, like, I don't expect to hear talking about Carly Rae Jepsen. Let's listen to this. And it's kind of just been this level of still kind of being shocked by how consistent and how good Carly Rae Jepsen's releases have been since Emotion dropped in March of 2015.
Yeah, it's been shocking because I keep thinking, you know, this is a really great recording session, or, you know, because one of the things I wanted to talk about is this album is special for being special, and then everything that came with it was special. You know, I love Body Talk, but I would say each Body Talk EP has 5 unnecessary songs easily. Well, no, each EP does not have 5 unnecessary mm-hmm. songs, but if all of Body Talk is 30, yeah, if no, all yeah, of the Body a, Talk yeah. is 30 songs, I could cut 12, and I wouldn't be gut-wrenched.
Right.
But I kind of don't think there's 3 songs I would cut across the entirety of what's been released for Emotion.
No, and Side B, really, which we got the next year, really holds up on its own as an album. I mean, kind of like how Gaga had The Fame and The Fame Monster, and The Fame Monster was this 8-track thing that came after it, and maybe in some ways even eclipsed The Fame. I don't know if Side B quite goes that far, but it stands on its own as a full album, like cover to cover.
I think Side B is
fantastic.
Just purely enhanced by Cut to the Feeling. I think it's an inherent, like, oh, okay, that should go with that. It's not a hard stretch. I don't think, you know, it's a terrible leap to say it's one more track, just stick it with it.
Yeah, I really am sad that the vinyl version of Side B does not have Cut to the Feeling on it, because, fuck, that song is really good. And since then, Carly Rae Jepsen's just kind of been dropping tracks here and there and making that money. She played Frenchie on Fox's Grease Live as part of their series of ruining plays that people like. She does the theme song for Fuller House. She paired up with Lil Yachty to do a Target promotion where they covered It Takes Two. And she's just kind of been all over the place and releasing tracks here and there for the last 3 or 4 years. And a peek behind the curtain, we're recording this in 1 or 2 pretty massive chunks. By the time this season of the Emotion Minute is over, she will probably have dropped another album.
Yeah, that's what we're all hoping. We've been waiting long enough.
And so that's who Carly Rae Jepsen is. Nico, you kind of hinted at it that I kind of pushed you into rediscovering this artist. Talk to me a little bit about your path to getting to where we are now in regards to our obsession for Carly Bae.
So it's really funny because you were like, you got to listen to this. And I was like, nah, thank you. Not even like to disrespect you, but just like, I was like, really, Carly Rae Jepsen, that annoying song that I don't think there was a review I saw of This Kiss that said anything other than essentially, yeah, this is that single, Call Me Maybe. Those were the reviews for that record. Yeah, this album has that single. You know, it's that joke that Kevin and I love to tell, that there's a review that was like, critics agree, Jack Black is Kung Fu Panda. Because, you know, sometimes that's the only review there is. And I felt like, you know, she's being forced upon me for no reason. She's just that lady with that one song. Get the fuck over it, everybody. So I'm on my way to my job, and I'm just sitting in my car, and I'm like, all right, let me put something on. And I scrolled on Google Play Music or Amazon Music, whatever I was on, probably Google Play, and I get to Emotion, and I'm like, okay, you know what? He keeps telling me to listen to this. Let me give it the time of day. He never steers me wrong. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we don't agree, but it's never like, you know, he was, ha, 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 I knew you'd hate that. I wanted to make your ears bleed. So I hit play, and the first thing that hits me is that horn on Run Away With Me, because I'm a guy who has to listen to a record the first time in order. I'll skip a song if it really sucks, same. But you got to start with track one. And that first horn blast, I was transfixed. I hadn't expected to be blown away in the first note. So that was like a really cool starting point for me, feeling impressed from note one. And I then was more impressed by Emotion. And it was just one of those things where, like, I still don't have any strong feelings towards This Kiss. And I think what little bits I've heard of Tug of War are, like, kind of embarrassing. But I think the record she produced, the Emotion Sessions, is such an expert piece of art. I will be a fan forever, and I will try whatever she releases. I really like the second and third songs she's put out from this new record. The first one, again, bored me. But I think she's someone who has already earned my I'm in, you've got my attention respect.
Yep.
And I'm willing to see what it takes.
Yep. Completely. Same boat. Like I said, I was eventually kind of convinced to listen to this by people I trusted, critics that I loved. And it didn't leave my car for like a year, honestly. Like, other things came in and out, but like this was consistent, and it still is, really. I can listen to this. I don't even know, honestly, until I got the vinyl earlier this year, I didn't actually know what songs were on Emotion, because I had like the extended one. Like, my version of Emotion always ended with Love Again, which I think there's like three songs that are on the extended cut. I don't stop listening to it. Side B gets mixed in there as well. Cut to the Feeling. And yeah, I agree with you. I think two of the three songs off of whatever is next, Carly Rae 4, have really held up to the standard she set. I'm excited to see where she's going next. And I think in so many ways what this show has become, to kind of bring it full circle, I just want to go back to Wiki Wiki Wah Wahpedia for a second and talk about one more section where she talks about her influences. And, you know, we're big name droppers on this show of the things that we love. And just listen to some of the people that, according to these citations, she has mentioned being either fans of or inspired by. Springsteen, who we love, of course, on this show. But also Kimbra, LaRue, Robin, Cyndi Lauper, Madonna, Prince, Cat Power, Tegan and Sarah, Sky Ferreira, Solange, Joni Mitchell, Sinead O'Connor, The Spice Girls, Hank Williams, like that. So, like, how many times have we talked about most of those artists on this show? So for someone to cite all of those as an influence, it's like the version of like our show distilled into one artist, plus like the whole 80s hard on that I have,
and my need for everything to be synth pop.
Yeah, and then, you know, to add on to this, one other thing that makes me love Carly Rae as well. She was scheduled to perform at the Boy Scouts of America 2013 National Scout Jamboree, which is weird to, along with the band Train. That's a combo. But yeah, this is post Call Me Maybe era, so she was still getting it from that. And she turned it down because of the Boy Scouts, like, kind of gross position on gay and transgender acceptance, because she fucking rules.
That's amazing. I didn't know that. That's really cool.
We love our Queen Carly on this show, and that is why hopefully you'll be coming along with us on this season of the Emotion Minute. We've got 7 tracks to talk about. Some of them will be good because some of them are on Emotion. Some of them will be off of that folky kind of Canadian pop rock album that she put out after Canadian Idol, and I don't know. So, like, join us. Come along for this ride. Get out your headphones. Put Emotion on in the car. Sing along. It's going to be fun.
I agree.
And so, until next time, when we jump right into Emotion, I'm Chris Mattiello. That's Nico Vassillo. We'll catch you on the flip side.